You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
Our story begins with two brothers. They were twins. One was David, one was Yitzchak. And as they grew into their high school years, their interests were different. David loved baseball, and Yitzchak loved astronomy. David could tell you all of the averages and the players and who was going to make the World Series. And Yitzchak could tell you about the planets and the moon and the stars and the astronauts. They had different interests. Their father, Mr. Goldman, was a lawyer. And Mr. Goldman, among the other positions that he had, was he worked for the local university. He did legal work for the local university. One day, the president of the university tells Mr. Goldman that week they're going to have a world-famous professor visiting the university. His name is Professor Alex Portnoy. And Professor Portnoy was perhaps the greatest expert in the world in astronomy. Mr. Goldman found that very interesting. So he asked the president, when is the professor going to be here? So the president said he's giving a speech on Thursday, and another speech on Friday, and then another one on Sunday. The reason why he wasn't giving a speech on Shabbos is because Professor Portnoy was a religious Jew. Mr. Goldman thought to himself, if the professor's going to be here on Shabbos, I wonder if he'll come to our house for a Shabbos Seuda. So he asked the president if he could find out, please, if the professor was available for a meal on Shabbos. And the president called back later that, in fact, the professor was available and he would appreciate very much it Friday evening if he could come to the Goldman's house for the Shabbos Seuda Friday night. Well, when Mr. Goldman told the family, they were very excited, especially Yitzchak, to have the world-famous astronomer, Professor Portnoy, at their home was extremely exciting to him. So therefore, he decided to come up with a number of questions. Very, very deep questions on astronomy. It took Yitzchak hours to figure out these questions. And he would have something to speak to the professor about. Everybody waited for Friday night, and finally Friday night came, and they walked together to shul, the professor and Mr. Goldman and the two sons. There were eight girls in the family. There were two boys and eight girls in this family. At any rate, so the two sons, David and Yitzchak, were walking with their father and the professor to shul. It was beautiful. It was Kabbalah Shabbos was beautiful, and Maariv was beautiful, and Mr. Goldman introduced the professor to the rabbi, who told people in shul about the famous professor that was here and how honored they were to have him. It was really very nice. And the professor himself, even though he was very famous, but he was down to earth, and he was sweet, and he had a friendly laugh and a warm handshake. It was really, really nice. It was very nice to know him. And they were looking forward to the meal together. As they were walking home, Yitzchak asked David a question. He said, David, he said, would it be possible if we could change seats tonight at the table? And what did he mean? So let's discuss a moment the seating arrangement of the Goldman family around the table. It used to be that before the Goldmans would begin to have their Shabbos Seuda, all of the children would argue about where they're going to sit. One child would say, I want to sit next to mommy tonight. And another child would say, but you sat next to mommy last week. And the child would say, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. And who wants to sit next to daddy? It was a big argument all the time. So Mr. and Mrs. Goldman decided that they're going to make a set arrangement of the children around the table. And every Shabbos Su'uda, they would move one over. So first they had the set arrangement, Friday night. And then Shabbos day, they moved over one. And then the next Friday night, they moved over one. And then the next Shabbos day, they moved over a one. Now this way, everybody got to sit next to mommy. Everybody got to sit next to daddy. And it was all very fair. Now tonight, it just so happened that David's seat was to sit next to the professor, and Yitzchak's seat was at the other end of the table. It was a very large table, and it wasn't very helpful if Yitzchak wanted to ask a question of the professor. It was too far away to really talk to him. So Yitzchak asked David if David would switch, and then he said, and then when you want to switch, I'll be very happy to switch with you. So David said, I don't think that's fair. It's my turn. I want to sit next to the professor. Yitzchak said, but you're into baseball and I'm into astronomy and I have all of these questions that I thought very hard about these questions. It took me a long time to come up with them. And therefore, if you don't mind, I really, really would like to ask him these questions. And David said, but it's my turn. I have a right to that seat. I would like to sit next to the professor. He's a famous person, you know, and I could ask him, maybe he has an idea of who's going to be in the World Series. I could speak to him too. So I'm sorry, Yitzchak. I'd like to help you out. I mean, I feel bad, but I want to sit next to the professor, and it's my turn. Well, Yitzchak did not have an opportunity to ask the professor any questions at all. After the meal, the professor had to leave right away, and there was nothing, no opportunity for Yitzchak. This is the first part of the story. The second part of the story deals with two boys in another part of the country, and later we'll see how the two stories come together. The two boys that were on the other side of the country, they were named Shmuel and Yosef, and they lived in Colorado. Colorado is a state in the West that has mountains and high places. And these two boys, Shmuel and Yosef, from their earliest years, they loved to climb. Climbed rocks, climbed even mountains. They enjoyed so much climbing. One day as they were sitting on a high, high place up in the mountains, so Yosef looked over at Shmuel and saw that Shmuel did not look very happy. You know, Shmuel, what's the problem? Shmuel said, we're moving. Yosef said, where? Florida. Florida? What's wrong with Florida? I hear it's beautiful in Florida. You have palm trees, you have oceans. I know, said Shmuel, but there's no place to climb. He felt so bad. Climbing was part of him. He loved climbing. Where's he going to climb? So Yosef said, I'm sorry, Shmuel. If you ever want to come back for a visit, you could stay in my house. And Shmuel said, thank you, Yosef. Anyway, the day came. They moved to Florida. And as the plane landed in the airport, and Shmuel looked out the window, he knew he was in a very flat place. And he got out, and then he saw the palm trees, and it was beautiful. But he looked around and around and around, and no mountains at all. He felt so bad. They got in a taxi, and they drove home to the home where they would be renting at least for the meantime. They drove up to the house that they were renting, and Shmuel looked out the window, and all of a sudden his face changed. Wow! His face broke into a big smile. Wow, look at that! In the front yard of that house was a tree. But it wasn't an ordinary tree. It was a gigantic tree. It was so high, and it had so many branches. Bigger branches, medium branches, smaller branches, all over the tree. There were so many branches, it would take you a week before you'd even have to step on the same branch. So he was so happy with that tree, he said, "Mommy, could I climb the tree?" Even before he went into the house. So his mother said, "Go ahead, Shmuel." Shmuel ran to this, climbing the tree. Climbed higher and higher. Wow, this was great. He was so happy. At last, he had something to climb. It wasn't a mountain, but it was fun. And he enjoyed it. And every day after school, he would come back to the tree. And he would climb the tree and sit in the tree and enjoy the breeze and look out past all of the houses. Shmuel was a very happy young man. Until 2 months later, there was a knock on the door. So Shmuel's father opened up the door, and there stood Mr. Green. Mr. Green owned the house that Shmuel's parents were renting from. So they welcomed, of course, Mr. Green into the house. He sat down and he told Shmuel's parents that he had made a decision to cut down the tree in the front yard. And Shmuel was listening to that, and his face got red like an apple. And then the blood drained from his face, and his face became pale white. "Oh no, they're going to cut down the tree." So Shmuel's father looked out of the corner of his eye. He saw Shmuel's face. So he said to Mr. Green, "Mr. Green, you know, my son, he really enjoys climbing that tree." "Oh, that's all right," said Mr. Green. "I know young men like to climb. And so I've decided to get some monkey bars, and I'll put him in the back of the house, and he can climb on the monkey bars." So when Shmuel heard that, he said, "Excuse me." And he got up, and he walked into his bedroom, and he lay on his bed, and he started to cry. Meanwhile, Shmuel's father said, "Mr. Green, I don't think that monkey bars are going to quite do it for my son." "I'm sorry," said Mr. Green. "You know, have you ever wondered why there's not so much grass on the front lawn? It's because the tree is so big that it blocks the sunlight from reaching the ground, and the grass can't grow. So I thought we would cut down the tree, and then we'll plant grass, and we'll put flowers and bushes. It'll be beautiful." "I'm sorry," he said, "if your son is disappointed, but this is something I would like to do." Well, it did not seem as if there was any way to solve this problem. The next day, Shmuel's father called up Mr. Green again. Said, "Mr. Green, if I could just explain in a couple of minutes, we come from Colorado. Colorado is where there are mountains. My son is used to climbing high places. It's just not gonna satisfy him." There's a silence, a couple of moments on the phone. Mr. Green thought about it, and then he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I realize that it's a hardship for your son, but I'm sorry. It's just something I want to do." And the day that they were going to start to cut down the tree was the first day of summer vacation. It so happened. for the job of cutting down the tree, which was a big job, Mr. Green decided to hire Mike Shapiro. Mike Shapiro had a tree cutting service. And he told Mike, and Mike went out to see the tree, and he figured out exactly how he was going to cut it down. And then about a week before he was going to cut down the tree, he received a visit from a young man who wanted a summer job. This young man who wanted the summer job, his name was David Goldman. David Goldman, the one that had an interest in baseball. Anyway, so David said, I was wondering, the school is going to let out in a week, the first day of summer vacation. I was wondering if I could work for you. Do you have a job for me? David asked Mike Shapiro. So Mike said, yes, son. He said, yeah, you could come to work for me. In fact, I have a job the very first day of the summer vacation. So why don't you come along? I think I could use you. So David was very happy. And Mike was happy. He had such a good assistant. And they waited for the first day of summer vacation. Well, the first day came, and David came early to Mike's office. They got into Mike's truck. He had a big gardening truck. And they drove to Shmuel's house. Shmuel was still sleeping when they got there. Mike climbed out of the truck, as did David. Mike had an electric saw in his hand. So he walked over to the tree. And he said to David, I think we're going to cut this branch first. And he turned on the saw, and the saw roared into life. And the blade was spinning around and around. When Mike turned on the saw, that woke up Shmuel. So Shmuel jumped up, and he ran to the window of his bedroom. And he saw Mike going over to the tree, and he took that saw, and he put the saw right on the limb of the branch. And the sawdust was moving up like that and flying around, and the saw was cutting through the branch. And Shmuel said, no! He didn't even know what he was doing, Shmuel. He was so upset. He ran out of the house onto the porch in his pajamas. And he was watching Mike cut down the tree. And he put his hands on his face like that. He said, no, no, my tree, my tree. And tears were coming out of his eyes. So Mike, he looked over at the porch and he saw this boy who was crying with his head in his hands like this. So Mike turned off the saw. He felt so bad. So he said, all right, son. He said, okay, oh, all right, hold it. All right, I won't cut down the tree. I'll go back to the office, go back to bed. Everything is fine. And he took the saw and he said to David, let's go back to the office. And David was surprised. So they got into the truck and they drove back to the office. When they got back to the office, Mike called Mr. Green. Mr. Green, he said, oh, hi, Mike, how's the cutting going? He said, the cutting is not going. Mr. Green, I can't do it. I don't know if you know this, but there's a boy in that house that loves that tree so much. He was standing on the porch in his pajamas. He was crying, I can't do it. I just don't have the heart for it. He said, I'm sorry, Mr. Green. I can't do it. And I hope you don't mind if I ask you. It's your decision to make, 100% your decision. It's your house and it's your tree and you can do what you want with it. But I wonder, do you really have to cut it down? Does it mean as much to you to cut it down as it means to that boy not to have his tree? If it's not so important to you, maybe let it stay so the boy could have his tree. So Mr. Green thought about it for a while. There was silence on the telephone for a while. And then Mr. Green said, you know, Mike, he said, you have a point. You have a point. Okay, he said, I won't cut down the tree. he can have the tree. Oh, so Mike said, thanks, Mr. Green. That's very, very, very kind of you. And Mr. Green said, Mike, you're a wonderful person. I appreciate it. Anyway, so they hung up the phone. And David said to Mike, he said, but I don't understand. That's your, you had a job, and you're going to lose money now. You could have made a nice amount of money cutting down that tree. So Mike said, it's true. I did have the job. But to tell you the truth, I have a lot of jobs, and the money doesn't mean as much to me as the tree means to that boy. And then Mike said something to David, which really made him think. He said, you know, sometimes when you have the right to do something, but if somebody else wants it a lot more than you do, sometimes you just have to be nice and just give in and let the other person have it. Oh boy. So David was thinking about the time that Yitzchak asked him to switch seats. And David says, my turn, it's my turn. I have a right to that seat. What Mike was saying now is, even if you have the right to something, but if somebody wants it more than you do, you have to think about that. And sometimes it's important to let him have it just because that's the right thing to do. It's a nice thing to do. And this is really what Hashem wants us to do. To think about our neighbors too, not only ourselves. Wow. So that day, after work, David went home and Yitzchak was there. And David said to Yitzchak, I'm sorry about the time I didn't let you have the seat next to Professor Portnoy. And if it ever happens again that the professor will come back to our house, and if it ever happens that it's my turn to sit next to him, I'm going to be so happy to give it up to you, to give the seat up to you. So Yitzchak laughed. Anyway, it's exactly what happened. About 6 months later, the professor came back for another lecture at the university, and he was there another Shabbos, and he went again to the Goldman's house for Friday night, and it happened exactly the same way, that David's seat was next to the professor. And David said to Yitzchak with the biggest smile on his face, Yitzchak, take it, take the seat. And Yitzchak got to ask all of the 5 questions, and it was so much fun. He enjoyed it so much. And David enjoyed so much watching how much Yitzchak enjoyed speaking to the professor. And David felt so happy with himself that he had given Yitzchak that opportunity. And so it's something that we have to remember. Maybe we have a right to something. Maybe it's our turn for something. But if someone else, our brother, our sister, our friend, whoever it may be, if somebody else wants it a lot more than we do, so it's important to think about that. And sometimes it's the right thing to do to give it up to the other person. And in this way, we can hope that we'll grow to be the kind of person that Hashem wants us to be.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.